Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. Let's get into it.
Do you want to keep the cash flowing this winter? Head over to LawEntrepreneurAcademy.com and check out all of Brian Fullerton's new courses and powerful resources to get you cashing in on that white gold through plowing snow. The Snow Plowing Training Course is easy to understand, and you'll learn what it takes to do the job effectively and how to bid, price, and estimate snow plowing for both residential and commercial properties. LawEntrepreneurAcademy.com has three new resources to take the hassle and guesswork out of securing your snow removal jobs, plus there's eye-catching marketing materials that can help you secure new clients quickly. Ready to crush the snow game this year? Visit LawEntrepreneurAcademy.com or use the link in the podcast description.
Hey guys, what's up? Today on the podcast, we are joined by Peter Olt. Peter is an electrical engineer, and he is inventor and current acting CEO of Sprinkler Magician. Peter has run his own company for over 30 years in both New Zealand and in the U.S. He is the inventor and majority shareholder of this company. He brings 35 years of experience in product design in electrical engineering industries. Back in 2011, it all started with a problem, and that problem being mosquitoes. There was nothing effective on the market that wasn't toxic. With a young family, Peter Olt wanted a non-toxic way to get rid of mosquitoes and all other pesky insects that ruled his backyard. He realized that using the existing sprinkler system to automatically apply a natural pesticide would be an ideal solution, which I think a lot of people have thought about this. But Peter actually acted on that and created a product that helps with it. It'd been done before, but never properly. Existing products were unreliable, rather. Wasteful and manually operated, not a very practical solution overall. So in early 2012, Peter designed, built, and patented the first intelligent and fully automatic sprinkler-based system. This sprinkler system is called the Sprinkler Magician. To go with that next, he developed the award-winning line of Mosquito Magician concentrates. The difference between this and other natural products was that they had to work as well or better than toxic alternatives. Much independent laboratory testing was done on thousands of mosquitoes to keep improving the results, all the while using only 100% pure and natural active ingredients. These two products form the foundation of the company while remaining true to the founding vision that he continues to prove and add new models. Guys, that is Peter Olt's bio, a mouthful, but I am so excited for you to listen in to this conversation and hear some of the ingenuity behind the industry and some of the cutting edge things that are coming down the pipe. So excited to give Peter a platform to talk and talk about his products. And if nothing else, guys, this is good food for thought. The industry is always progressing, always pushing forward. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear Peter's story.
Hello, this is Peter.
Peter, this is Britt. How are you doing?
Good, Britt. Good.
Good, man. I'm excited to talk to you and hear your story and what you got going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, great. Now, look, before we start, I just wanted to... So I'm in a pretty quiet office, and yeah. I read on the email not to use speakerphone, so I'm not. Just want to make sure you can hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I can hear you great. No echo on my end or anything like that. How about me? Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. I just thought we'd kind of get that out of the way before we get rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I already recorded an intro just based off the brief bio that you had sent Haley. So
yes.
We will just, whenever we're ready, you know, I've already got the record button on, so we'll just kind of talk, and I want it to be very genuine, very conversational style, and we'll jump right into it. So that way you don't have to feel sure. like you've got to give an elevator speech or anything like that.
No, that's good. Good to know kind of before we start. And now this is being recorded, right? So if you need to edit something, you can.
Exactly.
Now, yep. That's fine, yeah. And it should flow just nice. I've spoken on the subject plenty of times. So
yeah, and I was looking at your LinkedIn page. I mean, you seem pretty comfortable talking about your products and what you have going on, so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, after 8 or 9 years, you kind of get that way.
Yep. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. I want to, honestly, a couple things. I want to hear your story. I want our audience to learn from your perspective, and then I'll just pick your brain on some of the products. So it shouldn't be too hard or anything out of the box for you.
Totally. Now, how long do you want to take just so that I can fit what I say into your parameters?
Usually about 30 to 45 minutes is what I try to keep interviews to. Yep.
No, that's totally cool. Yeah. I just, you know, if we were like down to 5 or 10, obviously I'd give you a different rendition of the story.
Yeah. Yep. No, I get it. No, take your time. I mean, you'll be surprised at how quick 45 minutes with us will go, but take your time. Don't rush it. And then I'll just ask you some questions in between.
Totally. Yeah. And you want me to start with kind of the backstory, if you will?
Yeah. Yeah. Start with the backstory, frame everything up, kind of set the why behind your company, and then we can get into some of the minutia of your products and everything.
Cool. Now, do I just, you know, sorry for all the questions, but when I start, you want me to kind of introduce myself or just to kind of just sort of jump straight in?
Yeah, just jump straight in, because again, I've recorded that bio that you sent. So yes. Well, I'll just say, like, so Peter, tell me, share your story and how this all got started, and then you go right into it.
Perfect. Okay. Ready when you are. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Let me silence this phone.
No, you're good.
There's always one.
That's good. That's good that it happened now. Yeah.
It totally is, actually. I'm sorry. This is not a phone that I have to mess with too much usually. Gosh, I'm sorry about this.
You're fine. I'm ahead of schedule, so we are good.
Oh, okay. Wait, it is off. It's saying it's off, so we should be good now. And I apologize in advance if some noise happens. I'll try not to allow that to happen. I've told my staff not to come in.
No worries. Don't worry. No, man. If you ever go back and listen to our show, it's very, very casual, very authentic. We're not trying to be something that we aren't. So we do try to be professional and add value, but you're not going to offend me. I've had my kids walk in on an episode. I'm like, well, I'll keep that. Or if I have time, I'll edit it out later. So, well,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So Peter, I mean, you just jump right into it, man. I want to hear the origin story of how Sprinklr Magician came about and really the why behind the products for you. That's always fun to hear.
Absolutely. Okay, so here we go. Well, back in 2011, there were a lot of mosquitoes in Florida. There's always a lot of mosquitoes in Florida.
Yeah.
And I tried all the normal, you know, quote-unquote solutions, the Zappas and the Citronella candles and various other things, and just, you know, I live in an area that backs onto woods and whatnot. So I really kind of wanted to do something that was a whole property solution that was affordable and wasn't, I don't know, too much of an overhead, you know, cost-wise. So I started thinking about the sprinkler system that, you know, I had and most people have. And I thought this is a perfect way to deliver a product around the property. So I went online, I looked at a couple things that were on the market, and you know, frankly, they didn't really impress me. They were very crude and kind of wasteful in that they didn't have any intelligence. So I basically built a system back in those days. You know, Radio Shack was open and you could go. I'm an electrical engineer by trade, by the way.
Yeah.
So I went to Radio Shack and got a whole bunch of parts and put something together that basically had timers and some sort of basic intelligence so it could take control of the sprinklers and inject a liquid, two liquids actually, a fertilizer and a pesticide. And you know, deliver it around the property. So that was all well and good, and I started testing it and it seemed to work very well. So I thought, okay. So I searched out and found that it was patentable. There wasn't hidden me number for. So we filed a patent in 2012. And then at the same time, I was working in corporate America, and I really wanted to do something on my own.
Yeah.
So I took the plunge, and we formed the company myself. I brought in one partner, and we started building these machines. They were, you know, kind of crude compared to what we make today, but they worked. And we went to some home shows and trade shows and stuff, and we started to get a little bit of momentum. So that was all well and good. And then we were at the time using a concentrate that we'd found was natural. We felt that was important. We wanted to do natural products, and there were lots of reasons for that. You know, basic ones were like, we have kids. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't really enamored with pyrethrins and permethrins and all of that stuff. So, you know, we started testing, but the results were only mediocre. So then I kind of got pushed into the mold of now being a chemical engineer.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, if we can develop something that's truly natural, not just in name, but worked as well as a toxic alternative, then we'd actually have something pretty cool. And then couple that with the machine we just invented, we felt like we'd really have something unique. So,
well, explain that to me a little bit, Peter, because I want to know, like, you built this machine and building that alone, something that works and spreads product, is great. You know, most people would stop there and just market that and be happy, and you plug and play whatever products you want. What really made you want to get into the other side of it, where you're actually providing the product that goes with the machine?
We felt there's a couple of things. One is that if you sell a machine, but someone puts a poor quality product through it, then the whole machine's reflected badly. So we kind of felt that the whole success of the machine was down to, you know, how good a quality and strength product. And plus the calibration of the machine had to be set up for a certain product, whatever that was going to be. Like if the product was very watered down, we can compensate, but the machine would have to ship set up for a certain strength of liquid, you know?
Yeah. And so you can control the calibration when they're using your products. I mean, it's pretty much plug and play at that point. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's all software driven, even more so these days than it was back in the early days. It always was, but now it's quite smart, you know. It takes in factors like obviously the number of sprinkler zones or stations, if you will, or areas of the property, the size of those zones, what type of sprinkler heads are they, you know, mist heads or rotor heads, and all of that. And then it also takes in, this is all in kind of an algorithm buried deep inside, but it takes in the type of product. Is it a fertilizer, a pesticide? You know, we do deer repellent, snake repellent. We do soil conditioning products now that can handle like salty soil or acidic soil. You know, anything that you need to apply to the yard, the machine is now set up to do it. So it started off as a bug machine, but now it's kind of a whole property maintenance system. That's kind of the angle we're sort of going, or the, you know, the trajectory we're on with the machine. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. Yeah, it makes total sense. And so who right now is your best end user? Who's your ideal client right now?
We really have two of them. One is you know, I mean, the machine's not a budget machine. And by the way, and I'll get into this more in a minute, but we do sell a lot of other applicators to go with our concentrate that are sort of more in the $100 range or $200 range. But just sticking to the machine for now. I mean, the machine is an $1,800 machine, so yep. it's not a budget machine, but it's our Cadillac. It's the top of the line. It just happens to be we started with the Cadillac when we started the company, not the Ford Pinto, you know. So really, it's people that you know that have a sprinkler system that can afford a quality system to look after their property. So that's the one market, if you will. And then the other one is resorts and hotels and commercial properties that have big areas they want to treat and want to do it automatically. So we have quite a few systems down in the Caribbean and various resorts. And those are working really well. And a lot of the resorts are certified for, you know, the use of natural products. So they, our system is a good fit for them. I mean, of course, it has to work.
It has to work, but I bet that's huge because what's nice, I mean, you've got to water at a certain time, right? Because of disease and, you know, you've got other factors at play, but I'm sure it's nice for the resort to be able to not have to worry about an applicator out there at a certain time. They can just set it when they feel like, hey, this is a good time for us to get it down. It's not going to bother any of our guests. And once they front that cost, it's really just the product at that point. I can see that being
absolutely
huge. Yeah.
And you're 100% right, because when you're at a resort, the last thing you want to do is see someone with a backpack putting out kind of, you know, toxic, or people assume toxic pesticides around the resort. It doesn't go down very well.
Yeah, so, even like toxic or not toxic, it's just nobody wants to be bothered on their vacation, you know. And they're
exactly it's an intrusion, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got and people don't know what it is. They think you're just blowing something off the driveway or cleaning windows, but it's still a backpack blower when you're sitting there with a margarita in your hand by the pool, right?
Exactly. And it's noisy too. Those blowers are noisy.
Yep.
And so, you know, the resorts, they'll run our system in the middle of the night. So everyone's asleep. You get up in the morning, mosquitoes are gone. And there is a bit of how would I describe it? Slight garlic, sort of essential oil smell, but that dissipates in about 30 minutes.
Okay.
And so by the time the guests have got up, or this goes for homeowners as well, obviously, the smell's gone to humans. It's obviously not to mosquitoes. But so, there's no real downside to it. So awesome. They're the two broad markets, basically.
Okay. Awesome. Any luck or interest trying to pitch it to existing irrigation companies that install or maintain irrigation systems? Or are you trying to go directly to the homeowner?
No, the vast majority of our sales of the machine are through sprinkler companies, just like you said. We have about, I don't know, 50 or 60 that we deal with around the country, and they handle the bulk of the sales of the machines.
Okay.
We do sell some machines online through Amazon and through our own website, and occasionally we get people that just call us up, but probably less than 10% go that way, and 90% are through resellers, which are either landscapers or irrigation companies for the most part. Occasionally there's, you know, general contractors and companies like that. But no, you hit the nail on the head. That's and we like to sell it that way because we know they're going to be competently installed by people that, you know, it's not their first rodeo. They kind of know irrigation. Hopefully they know our system and that, you know, we help them when they first get rolling to make sure the first installation or two are nice and smooth. But after that, you know, to be honest, we hardly ever hear from them as far as the installation process.
That's good. Well, I mean, that says a lot about the product. Well, walk me through. So we've got lawn care operators, and it ranges from irrigation companies to just mowing guys to landscapers, design build. Let's say a guy out there is thinking to themselves, man, this might be one, a nice value add for our clients, but also a nice revenue generator for our company. Walk me through some practical steps of how they can start to sell this to their clients and what that looks like for them.
Absolutely. I mean, getting going is really as easy as picking up the phone and either talking to myself or my VP sales is probably the correct person. What we do is we have reseller pricing. We have two tiers of it. One is just for any contractor. And then we've tried to keep it simple. And then there's one tier that's lower than that. If their volume is reasonable. We're not talking, we don't set the bar that high, but that way, you know, the ones that are moving some volume look after with the best pricing. We have a lot of marketing materials that we give away freely. We're not a franchise or anything like that, you know, but we kind of like to think that we care for our resellers the same way a franchise does. We just don't charge any franchising fees or anything crazy like that. So when someone signs up with us, we will put them on our website, on the dealer locator. We'll normally give them a whole pile of you know, B2C, business to consumer marketing that they can use. Flyers and stuff like that that they can use to hand out to their customers to kind of test the water.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of video and graphic that they can use if they have a website or a landing page. We give that all away freely as long as they're actively selling. Obviously, we, you know, if they stop selling our product, we don't really want them using all of our media. But that kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm tracking with you. That's awesome. Yeah. And so, really, once they decide to join forces with you guys, they get more than just the product. I mean, you guys are helping them add sales, add revenue, add value to the client. And I mean, it makes sense for you guys, because if they do that well, it's also, you know, it's a win for them, but it's also a win for you.
Absolutely. We're kind of old fashioned like that. You know, we don't have a call center in the Orient or something like that. We pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want these guys happy because then they'll continue to sell. And, you know, they obviously make money off the initial sale, but they also make money off the recurring income selling the pesticide and the fertilizers and whatever else they want to sell to their end users.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, Peter, so if you don't have anything, feel free to say pass or skip, but do you have any success stories or any business owner that you could point to say, you know what, hey, this guy, he's been working with us for a few years. He added the sprinkler magician and has brought his business to whatever number in revenue, but maybe share a
Absolutely.
Story if you have one.
Oh, no, totally. I can do that. And you know, on our website, I mean, you know, give you some names. I probably need to ask them before I.
You don't. Kind of, and you don't even have to say the name if you want to just reference somebody in a region. That would be perfect.
Oh yeah, and we've in the past been very happy to give away those names with consent. But you know, we've got a reseller down in Miami who's been with us since kind of day one, almost like mm-hmm. 2013. He's probably got somewhere between 200 and 300 machines down there.
Wow.
And, you know, he's got a really good continual revenue stream now.
Well, and explain that. How does he get continual revenue from these clients for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's a couple of different ways they do it. How these guys do it is, well, they actually do it two ways. One, they have trucks on the road because they're an irrigation company. Mm-hmm. So they have one person that kind of does a round of the machines once a month, and they have agreements with the homeowners. They just fill up the machines and then bill the customers. Then there's another way they do it with customers that are perhaps a little further away, or maybe they're snowbirds, they're not down all the time. They just call this company, and then they send us the order via email, and we drop ship direct to the homeowner. So it kind of works. It's very nice and clean. So we just send the concentrate or whatever it is they need on behalf of the reseller straight from us to the end user.
Okay. And what does that look like as far as, I mean, so sorry, I'm just trying to track with you here because I'm not an irrigation guy. So these guys install it. They sign them up as a recurring user. You're saying you can either ship it directly to the homeowner, or irrigation company gets it there in-house, and then
Correct. We'll
actually, I mean, they're setting them up on a what? What are they charging them monthly to go out and refill it?
Well, normally, because one guy can probably do, you know, 15 or 20 machines in a day. Mm-hmm. I believe most, and this is, see, we don't have rules on this. In other words, some resellers will do it different to others, and it all depends on the area, how affluent the customers are and all that. But most of them don't charge. Most of them just charge for the product. So they'll just stop in, do a quick check of the machine, make sure it's all running, fill up the reservoir, and then bill the customer for the product. And most of them don't charge labor. The machine is essentially zero maintenance. So it's not like they got to go there each month and start messing with stuff and replacing or blowing out blockages, and it doesn't do any of that. So
they're just, you know, just upcharging the actual product then at that point.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They make a decent margin on the product, and most of them feel that's enough. And that way the customers really feel loyal because they, you know, they've had the system checked, they've had the thing topped up, and there's no labor charge connected. All they've had to do was pay the product, which they would have bought at the same price online anyway. So, yeah. I mean, they haven't paid more for that.
How often are they refilling these usually?
Well, I mean, it has a very big reservoir, the machine. It's a 5 gallon. Mm-hmm. And so that, depending on the property size, most properties, like a very small property, would use half to two thirds of a gallon a month. I'm talking pesticide now, because that's normally the first thing that people ask about.
Yep.
Bigger properties, like fairly substantial, say over a quarter of an acre with a lot of foliage and turf and that, they might use a gallon a month. So that's, in retail terms, on the high side, that's $100. And if they're using two thirds of a gallon, well, you know, $67. Yeah. But the point that I always like to stress on that is, okay, you can have Mosquito Joe or Squad or whatever come and treat every 3 weeks, and they're going to charge about $80. But, you know, you're going to get 1.3 treatments a month if they come every 3 weeks. Our machine's going to treat at least twice a week. So in that same month, you've had 9 treatments. You know, so the amount of coverage you get from our system is uninterrupted. Like, you get complete 100% protection the whole time. You don't get a treatment once, and then as soon as it rains, the stuff starts to wash off and the guy comes back 3 weeks later, but the mosquitoes have come back after a week. And that's typically what happens.
Now, let me ask you this. Does it have the ability to run one day and not the next, or does every time you run your sprinklers, it's going?
That's a super good question. No, and that's what our patent's all about. I'll try and explain this very quickly, you know, without getting into a long story, but here's the bottom line. Our machine does not run when the sprinklers are watering, okay? So that might sound odd, but what our system does is it's software-driven. So it will turn on the sprinklers for about 2 minutes a zone from our machine. Like, our machine will actually turn on the sprinklers. It's wired to the sprinkler controller. Mm-hmm. And so it will, here's how it runs. Say it'll turn on the front yard, the sprinklers. It'll inject an exact amount of concentrate into the sprinkler line. And then it'll keep on that zone just long enough to get it onto the plants. And then it'll shut off that zone and move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. So the whole point is, we don't want to over dilute. So we want to put just enough water with our concentrate to get it onto the plants without then washing it off with another 20 minutes of water. So that's the logic behind why we separate out the treatments. And then the other obvious logic is that way our machine can be set to treat whenever you want. It has nothing to do with when you water. So you can water once a week, 5 times a week, whatever, and you can treat for mosquitoes or fertilize or whatever any amount of times you want, you know, and doesn't have to coincide with when the sprinklers are on at all.
Okay.
So we run a separate treatment. We run the sprinklers for a different purpose. We're not trying to water.
You're setting your water schedule, and then once you install this system, you're now setting a separate treatment schedule. And so you're not viewing your application as watering, correct?
Exactly correct.
Okay.
And that second schedule, if you will, that comes from our machine. So you don't have to reprogram the sprinkler timer or anything like that. It's completely standalone. In fact, you could unplug the sprinkler timer out of the wall and our machine will still run just fine. Mm-hmm. It's completely independent.
Mm. Okay. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, cool. Yeah. Thank you for going. I'm sure you answer these questions 100 times a week, but thank you for going
over that. Well, that one comes up a lot, but it's valid because it's the first. A lot of people have a disconnect on that. Well, hold on, but how can I treat for mosquitoes when I'm not watering? And so, you know, I like to handle that pretty, you know, fully so that people understand. That's what our patent's all about, by the way, was the whole ability to run separate to the sprinklers mm-hmm. for a completely different purpose other than watering.
Yep. And I'm assuming you can choose the zones that it's injected into as well?
Absolutely. Right in the software. So I'll give you an example. So let's say you have our dual reservoir machine, okay? It's got two reservoirs, two pumps. Mm-hmm. And say you have 10 zones just for easy math. You might say, well, I want to fertilize every single zone, but, you know, mosquitoes are only a problem in the backyard. I don't want to waste the pesticide out the front. So I'm gonna select all 10 zones for fertilizing, but I'm only going to do zones, say, 5 to 10, which are out the back for pesticide. And then at any time you can change it. Let's say you start having some mosquitoes by the front door. You just go into the menu and you say, okay, I'm going to turn on zone 3 for pesticide. And so it's totally customizable. Mm-hmm. And it's easy.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, because that was my next question. I'm just tracking here if I'm an irrigation guy and I'm wondering, okay, well, instead of me misting the perimeter and doing the perimeter of the house, I would love to be able to just create a barrier with those outside zones and not waste product in other areas. So yeah, that answers my question. Well, Peter, this is all sounding good. And if I'm an irrigation guy, I'm thinking, you know what? This is awesome. This is kind of next gen technology, right? Not a lot of people are using it. You've got a patent on it. I'm wondering, hey, how can I implement this within my company? Help clients and maybe get into a new line of service that I don't even offer right now. And nothing better than more revenue from an existing client, at least from a business owner standpoint, there's more profit margin. So I think everybody by now, you've given them a good picture of how this machine can add value in their life. I would love to switch gears now. So we talk a lot of small business and leadership. I'm just curious to know kind of your entrepreneurship journey and maybe give us a little bit of the background of, you know, the ups and downs of, because I know you said you were in corporate America, or I read that on something that I was studying about you, and then you took the jump. And so I know there's a lot of pain in that, there's a lot of risk. And so just just walk me through some of the business side, and maybe you had a pivotal moment or a pivotal change or a time you wanted to give up, but just share some of that side of your story, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'd be happy to. Well, the story goes back a little further. I won't go back too far, but I'm from New Zealand. You may have figured that part out. and I had a company there doing electrical engineering. We did a lot of work in coal mines and gold mines on big, expensive earth-moving equipment. We did all the electronics and electrical, you know, side to that, which was really good, and you know, it was well paid. I mean, the conditions were really crappy. Of course, you're working in the rain and the mud, but the money was good. But the thing about it that I realized after, as the years went on, was, you know, you had nothing to really sell other than your time and parts. So there was no intellectual property or anything like that. And so when I moved to the States here, I didn't want to do that again. That was back in 2005. And so, you know, I sold the company and I kind of took a break for a while. And then I did some work in IT and projects like that, which was fine, but I really did want to start my own company again, you know, and have that freedom that I enjoyed in New Zealand. Yeah. But this time I wanted to do it with something where I actually had something that would grow, you know, like something proprietary, something that would be sellable at some point. That's definitely not the plan at the moment, but, you know, something that was kind of worth more than just my day-to-day time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what got me going. And then, and you're right, it was very hard to jump out of a good, steady job into the unknown. And it really was the unknown, because now, you know, here we are in 2021 and it's been nearly 9 years and the business is very steady and it's easy to pay the bills and whatnot. But it wasn't like that at the start. It was a big leap of faith and the money was very tight for, you know, a few years, because we were trying to introduce a product, excuse me, that people didn't know existed. It didn't exist. So it's one thing to sell a better mousetrap, but it's a whole different thing to try and educate people about a new way of doing something. You know, the estimation of effort is so much higher.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me just grab a little water.
You're fine. While you're doing that, I'll ask another question. So, yeah, And
yeah, sure.
I've seen this before with other new products, but you know, a lot of guys are set in their ways, and a lot of homeowners are set in their ways. And have you had any pushback from the industry, and you had to really overcome that just to get a sell, or has it always been pretty steady for you?
Well, that's another, sorry, excuse me. That's
You're fine.
That's another interesting point. With sprinkler companies, we find that there's, you know, kind of two categories. There's those that embrace change, and they're normally the guys that are selling the Wi-Fi timers and the latest technology. And then there's, unfortunately, those ones that really just want to do what they've always done, which is fine. But, you know, they'll dig ditches and fit sprinkler heads, and they're not the guys that will probably end up ever selling our equipment, because they just aren't looking. They aren't looking to, you know, to adopt new technology. And we've kind of had losses when we first started trying to kind of get it through to certain, you know, certain people that, well, hey, this could be a great, you know, additional revenue stream. And they either see it or they don't. And we've kind of learned that, hey, if it's not a good fit, you know, you don't flog a dead horse. But then there's other companies that, like all of the guys that resell for us now, that, you know, they're typically sprinkler companies that are already looking for other things. Like a lot of them will do outdoor LED lighting, for example, a lot of them. And then, you know, they'll do sprinkler work, they'll do the LED lighting, and they'll sell our system. And then they have a really nice three-way kind of split of revenue. And it just, those three, for whatever reason, seem to go together very well.
That's interesting. Well, I'm wondering now, and I appreciate you sharing some of the background and stuff. What about, sorry, I'm just trying to picture here. What about like licensure? Have you turned down any opportunities to license just to keep it small and in-house? Or give me some of the opportunities that you've had to navigate as this thing has grown, or is it still in heavy growth mode right now? Like I'm wondering, like, how come Site One hasn't come along and tried to gobble you guys up or create some sort of licensing agreement?
Yeah, well, we are in a very big growth mode at the moment. We really, really are. Last year was our biggest year ever. We had no idea what to expect with COVID and everything, but it was our biggest year ever. And this year we're almost double the sales we were a year ago. So I mean, it's very hard to plan for.
Yeah.
But you know, you just make it happen, don't you? So, but yeah, so that's definitely all consuming, and it's nice, you know, okay, it brings its share of problems, but they're the sort of problems you want to have.
Yeah. Yep. Those are the best kind of problems. You'd rather be dealing with those than lack of sales and trying to survive.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're the problems you don't want.
Yep.
But yeah, we did get approached twice from last year from two different companies wanting to acquire us, and basically I turned them both down. It's just not what we want to do.
Yeah.
And it's flattering and everything, but I just like what we're doing now. I want to keep doing it. I want to keep growing the company and keep, you know, getting more resellers that, you know, we have such a nice bunch of guys and girls and, you know, it's just very easy to do business. And yeah, with that sort of relationship. And I just, you know, feel like we're on the right path, and we don't really want to be getting off that path, to do something different, or, you know, getting into bed, so to speak, with a big company. And then you've got to now take on all of their policies and procedures. And, it's just, you know, we don't need to do that. There's no compelling reason. And so I just like the strategy and the path we're on now. And I just, as I say, want to just keep growing the company using those same kind of principles. It's working, so
yeah,
why change,
yeah,
sort of thing.
And it sounds, I mean, you're seeing success and also enjoying it. So Why try to change something that's working or fix something that's not broken? So, man, well, Peter, I've enjoyed hearing this. This is all learning and education for me. So, honestly, I'm going to continue to keep tabs on your company and look up other companies that are actually utilizing your service. So I myself am more educated on it. But for our audience, all right, so we've got a little bit of a listenership here and Instagram and Facebook followers. If they want to reach out to you and figure out how they can start implementing the Sprinklr Magician into some of their service scope, how can they reach you and how can they get a hold of you to ask more questions?
Well, of course, I mean, they can go to our website, which is just sprinklermagician.com. There's also mosquitomagician.com, either one, or they can just call us. I mean, I can give you the number right now. I'll give you the direct number. It's 727-216-6263. I mean, we have a toll-free number as well, but that's just a very easy number. It comes straight through to us and you won't get lost in the phone system. And then, you know, we're easy to get hold of. We're easy to talk to. Yeah, absolutely. They can call, or like through the website, obviously, if they're more comfortable sending us an email, they can do that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you guys can call that number, look them up online. It sounds like they can be found pretty much anywhere. I know myself and Peter had connected on LinkedIn, so you can go over mm-hmm. follow them and message him directly on LinkedIn, and he's done a great job of getting back to us. So, well, Peter, man, I wish you guys all the best, and I appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you, and I wanted to also say thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and it's a lot of fun to talk about, and you know, you had some very good, intelligent questions, so thank you for that as well.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Best of luck to you guys.
All right, thank you. You too.